George Benedict had a planned destination. It was outside England, as well it might have been, all things considered. The further he went from England, the better for Mr. Benedict, you'd say, at that particular time. But Mr. Benedict was never able to leave England. It wasn't his fault, it just happened that way. When George Benedict left London by car on the evening of June the 21st, his primary destination was Southampton, from where, under an assumed name, he was to take passage by ship for distant parts. For reasons of his own, Mr. Benedict did not take the most direct route to Southampton. You could say that he wished to confuse the opposition. So he headed west, not south, and spent what remained of that night at Reading. When the opposition traced him there next morning, he'd already moved on, and the trail wasn't easy to follow.
But his name wasn't Benedict, sir. We did have a gentleman staying here last night, similar to the gentleman you've described.
And he arrived late at night, probably around midnight?
Yes, sir, that's right. But his name was Mr. Fry.
Could I see your register?
Are you from the police, sir?
No, not from the police.
Oh, well then... Well,
it's important that I should find this gentleman as soon as possible.
I wonder why he should be using a name other than his own.
He has misguided reasons for so doing. I want to save him from further trouble. There's nothing against your showing me the register, is there?
Oh, no, nothing. Well, there you are, sir. The gentleman wrote his own name and address. H.S. Fry, Clanricarde Gardens, London, W2.
Neither of them true. But the handwriting belongs to George Benedict. Clanricarde Gardens. That wasn't clever of him.
No, sir.
But I don't wonder that it's on his mind. So many things must be weighing heavily on the mind of Mr. George Benedict. Of course, he didn't tell you where he was going from here.
No, sir, no.
No. And if he had, it wouldn't have been the truth.
But I did see him leaving.
You saw the road he took?
The South Road, towards Basingstoke and Winchester.
And Southampton.
Suspense. The unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.
Benedict, alias H.S. Fry, also to be known by another name before the day was over, didn't reach Southampton. He didn't even reach Winchester. Was it only by chance that he took a second wrong road?
Funny. I could have sworn I took the Southampton road. Oh, but I was equally sure the time before that, and I found I was wrong. Now, here I am, headed towards Salisbury. Well, why not? I have time up my sleeve. A more circuitous route, that's all. If anyone's interested in following me, they'll find it more confusing than ever. But why do I keep thinking of Amesbury? I've never been to Amesbury in my life. I can't get the place out of my mind. Why Amesbury?
Well, now, in case you don't know, Amesbury borders on Salisbury Plain, an area of rolling, chalky downs, practically treeless, sparsely populated. And not very far from Amesbury is an hotel. The hotel has been there for a long time and does not attract many visitors. But that evening, the landlord and his wife prepared to receive a guest.
Wilfred, do you think you could be wrong this time?
Oh, no. I'm not wrong.
But it's 7 o'clock.
I know.
Well, he's late arriving.
No, not really. This is the time he was to come, near to 7. He'll be here. You can be sure of that.
You haven't told me. Do you know who he is?
We never really know, do we? Until we see them.
Well, listen.
Yes, that will be our special guest.
What do you suppose he'll say?
Oh, what all the others have said, I expect. Isn't it always the same?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm looking for accommodation. Can you look after me?
Oh, certainly, sir. A room for one night.
What?
A room for one night. Isn't that what you want?
Why, yes, it is, but I don't remember saying, sir.
No, sir. Would you like to sign the register?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Mr. Roger Crawford, Swiss Cottage, London. Have you more luggage, sir?
But not that I want to bring in. I suppose there's a garage or such like where my car can be locked up?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll take your bag up and show you to your room. Oh, my name is Wilfred Robarts, by the way. I'm the landlord, of course, and this is Letty, my wife.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
We'll be very glad to look after you.
You know, it's a funny thing.
Funny, sir?
Well, actually, I had no intention of coming here at all. I was going somewhere else.
Yes.
Well, the fact is, I kept seeing Amesbury. Everywhere I looked at as I was driving, I kept seeing the name Amesbury written up somewhere. On signposts, hoardings. In the end, I just gave in and ended up here.
Well, it sometimes happens like that, sir. Every once in a while.
Yes. Well, now, am I too late for dinner?
Oh, no, sir. We've kept it back for you.
Kept it back?
In case someone should come, as you have.
Well, what about your other guests?
There are no others, sir. You're our only guest tonight.
Well, just me, eh?
Now, if you'll come with me, I'll take you to your room. Room number 3, sir. It's waiting for you.
George Benedict, alias H.S. Fry, now calling himself Roger Crawford, didn't think there was anything unusual in the way Wilfred Robards had expressed himself that the room was waiting for him. Of course, he didn't know about that room. It was waiting for him, just as it had waited for certain others before him. When Robards took him in there, he hesitated.
Something wrong, sir?
Well, I don't know. This room.
Yes, sir?
It's not exactly modern, is it?
No. But I believe it has an air about it. I always feel it has every time I come into it.
It depends what you mean by an air.
As you say, sir, it's not exactly modern. A sort of timelessness is what I'd call it. A room that's linked with the past.
Yes. It's extraordinary that it should have so many things the same.
The same, sir?
That red and white check pattern on the curtains. There was a bed-sitting room I knew in London at Notting Hill Gate that had the same curtains. But I expect it's a standard line of material, widely so.
Yes, sir.
That picture on the wall. The Balinese head. Funny that, it's modern. Out of key with the rest of the room. The same print is in a room with which I'm very well acquainted at Swiss Cottage.
In your own home, sir.
What?
I remember the address you wrote in the register. Swiss Cottage.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. You don't do very well here, do you, Mr. Robards?
Why should you say that, sir?
It seems obvious if I'm your only guest.
That's true.
You know, what you need is a sharp, live-wire attitude. A public relations setup that really works for you. Well, there are smart boys in London I could tell you about. They don't miss a trick. And you can't afford to, Robards. Not in this life.
What's that, sir?
You can't afford to miss a trick. Believe me, take it from one who knows. Miss a trick and you're knocked over in the stampede. They're walking on your face.
Yes, sir. I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, but a place like this, maybe you could never do any better. Out of the way hole, isn't it?
I suppose it is, really. And yet...
Yes? You're going to say something?
Oh, it's not relevant, I suppose. You came here, sir.
Yes, that's right, I did. I'm hanged if I know why.
No, sir.
And that's not like me, Robards. I'm not in the habit of doing anything unless I have a good reason for it. But it seems somehow there was a reason for this.
You just can't put your finger on it.
Now, how the devil do you know so much about the way I feel and think?
Oh, I don't, sir. Not really. I was just, shall we say, finishing your sentence.
What do you mean, not really?
Sir?
You don't really know about the way I feel and think, do you, or don't you?
This is, as you say, an out-of-the-way place. Civilization. The world, you might say, is behind us. Ahead. There's nothing.
Nothing. Oh, you mean Salisbury Plain, an unpopulated wasteland?
Yes, sir. I expect that's what I mean.
Robards, you're very careful about your words, aren't you? You don't commit yourself at all.
I'm just trying to explain our position here, if you can understand me. You see, sir, we become very conscious of it ourselves, as though we're something of a halfway house between this world and the next, if you care to put it that way.
I don't, if you don't mind.
No, sir, I don't mind. One becomes fanciful, I expect, living here with all that emptiness beyond. Oh, will there be anything else?
I'll be down for dinner in 15 minutes. Will that suit you?
Perfectly, sir. 15 minutes.
Oh, Wilfred.
I'm coming down, Lady.
Well, what happened, Wilfred, when he saw the room?
We spoke about the curtains and the picture on the wall.
Yes?
He described the curtains as being a red and white check. And the picture, in his opinion, was a Balinese head. But you and I know that the curtains are a neutral colour, without a pattern of any sort. And the picture is not a picture at all. It's an empty frame.
Wilfred Robards and his wife Letty, it all had a pattern of inevitability about it. They had known that someone was coming to occupy room 3 that night, and it had turned out to be George Benedict, now calling himself Roger Crawford, who'd been at H.S. Fry the night before. Nothing surprised the Robards. But for George Benedict himself, it was oddly bewildering. He didn't know why he was there. But he was certainly had to be there, very bewildering. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Well, not to him. When he came down to dinner, he was already well on the way to being distraught.
Mr. and Mrs. Robards.
Yes, sir.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Crawford?
That wrong?
Yes, sir.
Well, have you had a guest in it recently, a young woman from London?
Recently, Mr. Crawford?
What would you mean by recently?
Well, it couldn't have been within the last 3 weeks. And yet?
I don't believe we've had a young woman in number 3 recently. Have we, Letty?
No, not recently.
Oh, it must be imagination, then. But I could swear...
Yes, sir?
There seems to be a perfume. A distinctive perfume with which I'm acquainted.
Worn by a woman, sir.
Yes. Oh, but it's nothing. Forget it. That's just the association of the curtains. Curtains of that particular colour and pattern.
Oh, yes, you did mention that. A bed sitting room at Notting Hill Gate.
Well, a person's mind can run along certain lines. Physical sensations will follow. Imagined physical sensations. Oh, forget it. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
For dinner, sir, we have roast duckling with a rich orange sauce. Is that to your liking?
Oh, very much, Mrs. Robards.
First, perhaps some mushroom soup.
You are doing me proud.
Well, if you'll sit down, sir, I'll bring the soup.
I didn't expect such lavish treatment here on the edge of nowhere. Why, Robards?
Why?
I'm your only guest. You didn't know I was coming, yet you have a special dinner prepared. Roast duckling and orange sauce. Well, that isn't the sort of thing that just happens to be on hand in a lonely hotel on the edge of nowhere. Well... How does it come about that you have this kind of dinner prepared?
It was fortunate, sir, that the ingredients were here.
Excuse me, Mr. Crawford. Your soup is ready to serve.
And the duckling, Mrs. Robards? Is that ready to be served?
Yes, sir.
But you see, that's what I mean. I've only been here 20 minutes, yet an elaborate dish is already cooked and waiting to be served. It's... Well, it's as... It's as though you were expecting me.
But we've already explained that. We must always be prepared for the casual traveler, Mr. Crawford.
Yes, but...
Your soup, Mr. Crawford.
Thank you. It's pleasant down here. Very pleasant atmosphere.
Thank you, sir.
Not like that room upstairs. There's something there that... Robards, I'd like my room changed.
Changed?
And take the soup away, Mrs. Robards. I've had enough.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but it won't be possible to change your room now. You see, all the others are closed up. That's the only one available.
Oh. Tell me something, Robards.
Yes, sir?
Has anything unusual ever happened in that room?
Not in the time I've been here, sir. Never.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Here you are, sir, the duckling. I do hope you enjoy it.
Sumptuous, Mrs. Robards. Quite sumptuous. The man couldn't ask for more than that, even if it was the last meal he was going to eat on Earth.
Now everything was ready. Powers beyond his control, beyond explanation, had brought George Benedict to the lonely hotel on the edge of Salisbury Plain. George Benedict, who'd planned to go to Southampton, but had been strangely drawn from his course. On the Southampton Road, another car was turning round, heading back the way it had come, picking up the trail again. A car driven by Harry Stannard, who'd found news of George Benedict earlier that day at Reading. Stannard, too, would find his way to Amesbury, sooner or later. Meanwhile, Wilfred Robards and his wife were left alone in the downstairs parlour.
I told him that nothing unusual had ever happened in that room, Letty, in all the time we've been here.
Nothing ever has. Nothing unusual.
Quite.
Now he's up there.
The room will do the rest.
Last night in England for a long time. No, my last night in England forever, I should think. Would hardly be wise to return to this country. Harry Stannard would find out. No, that wouldn't be wise. Anyway, why think about returning? My assets are safely stashed away. Overseas. This time tomorrow, be on board ship. Not as George Benedict. Not as H.S. Fry, and not as Roger Crawford. So many identities in the space of a few days. I don't really know why I've come here. But it's all to the good. Part of the evasive action confusing the opposition. Especially Harry Stannard, if he's added two and two together. Ooh.
Settle down to sleep, Benedict, old boy.
But why do the curtains billow out that way? Just as they did that night in Clanricarde Gardens. The same curtains. But tonight in this room there's no wind or cross draft. And yet the curtains billow out.
Come in, George. I've been waiting for you. George, why did you lie to me?
All this happened before. Clanricarde Gardens, Notting Hill Gate. The room with the check curtains billowing out, just as they're doing now.
It wasn't necessary to lie. You know I'd have done anything for you. Haven't I proved it already?
Before dinner, it was your perfume in this room. Now you're here.
I didn't even let Harry know. Especially not Harry. My brother has a Puritan conscience. If he'd known you were using me in your series of frauds, he'd have had no mercy on you.
But you did tell him, didn't you, Anne? After that, he knows. I was warned that he did.
I'll never forget last Tuesday night, in his lounge room at Swiss Cottage. You and I were sitting together and he was opposite, listening to the plausible story you told him. Did he believe it or didn't he? It was hard to tell. There was no expression on his face. It was just as enigmatic as the picture on the wall behind him. That Balinese head.
That's here, too. The Balinese head, the picture on the wall, in this room. Now!
He must have believed it at the time. Because you got what you wanted from him. I felt like Judas, betraying my own brother. Another of your fraud victims. That's how deeply I've been under your power, George. I'd even betray my brother for you. And all the time you've been lying to me. George, even if I'd known from the beginning that you were married, I'd still have done it all. I really loved you. Do you want to know how I found out?
You can't be saying this again. You can't be.
But it doesn't really matter, does it, how I found out? And I haven't been the only one you've used. George, you didn't have to lie to me.
How can you be here?
Do as you've planned, George. Carry it all out according to the plans you've made, the secret plans. You don't have to worry about me.
There couldn't have been a mistake. A street accident. But it wasn't an accident, was it?
But one day perhaps we'll all be too much for you. All we people you've used this way.
I took no notice at the time when you said that. But now it's happening. Anne, listen to me.
One day, perhaps, even your conscience will be too much for you.
I have no conscience. You want to know me better than that?
Conscience can kill, George.
I have no conscience.
Conscience can find the worst of us and kill.
The Balinese head. It's glowing with light. It's glowing with light.
Next morning, Harry Stannard arrived at the lonely hotel on the edge of Salisbury Plain. But of course he was too late. None of it surprised Wilfred and Letty Robarts. It often happened that way that an interested party arrived to interview their special guest of the previous night. But they were always too late. George Benedict, of course, was found dead in his bed that morning with his eyes staring.
You knew him well, Mr. Stannard?
Oh, yes, I knew him.
Then you will know, of course, why he died.
You called a doctor to examine the body? To give an opinion on the cause of death?
Well, the doctor's opinion was that he died of natural causes. A failure of the heart. But isn't every death in the final analysis caused by that? A failure of the heart.
He couldn't escape. Even though he came to an out-of-way place like this.
Oh, he had to come here, Mr. Stannard.
Had to?
Oh, yes. You see, the room was waiting for him.
There's something not quite right here about this hotel.
I often describe it as a halfway house.
Between this world and the next.
What Mrs. Robart means that civilization is behind us and ahead is the wasteland. The plain, you understand.
Is that all she means? Mr. Robarts, who goes into that room next?
Oh, that's not for us to say, sir. The room's closed up now. And that's how it will stay. Until we know it has to be opened again.
Your friend asked my husband last night if anything unusual had ever happened in that room. It does have an air about it.
And what did you say, Mr. Robarts?
Oh, I told him that nothing unusual had happened in that room in the time we've been here. And that's true, sir. In all the time we've been here, no one has spent a night in that room and been still alive in the morning.
Harry Stannard might well have asked what there was about that hotel. Perhaps he was satisfied with the answers given by Wilfred and Letty Robards. After all, it was not for him to quarrel with what had happened. But what had really caused George Benedict's death in that special room? Was it an onslaught of conscience that first reduced him to a state of babbling panic and then killed him? Or was it a visit from the uninvited?
Suspense. unusual, the unexpected, life, death, and sometimes something in between. Suspense.